The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Abraham Lincoln is one of those credited with saying you can fool all of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. In the current presidential campaign, Donald Trump is hoping that the sum of the people you can fool all of the time is big enough to get him back into the White House, as he continues to suggest the January the 6th rioters came with peace in their hearts, that Hispanics have criminality in their DNA, that Haitians are eating people's pets, and so on and so forth. This week in our series on disinformation, we're asking, can almost 50% of Americans be so dumb as to believe his lies, or do they know he's lying and simply not care? We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Explain, please.
Okay, so he doesn't actually even need the 50%. He just needs people in the right districts. Roughly a third of Americans, for example, believe that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump, which is a narrative he has constantly propagated. That translates to about 110 million people, so not an insubstantial amount of people. Yeah. And as you've already put out there, there's lots of other conspiracy theories that Trump has been saying since as early as 2014. So it's 10 years that we've known this man as an inveterate, unrepentant liar. The big question is, why do people believe this?
Yeah.
And trying to unpack that's complicated. And there's some information we can draw from conspiracy studies on conspiracy theorists. It's a similar thing of taking false information and their propensity to believe it. So there's a few different things going on. There was a paper in 2022 in Nature Review Psychology on the cognitive drivers and the socio-affective drivers of why people believe things.
What are they?
False things.
Now, what's a cognitive driver?
The cognitive driver is essentially a flaw in your reasoning or your logic. So people who tend to be susceptible to false beliefs are very intuitive thinkers. They don't necessarily do the, if you ever read Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow, they're very much the quick availability heuristic. They're not the deep reflective thinkers. So if you tend to jump to snap judgments and go at what feels right, you're an intuitive thinker. And that often means that you are vulnerable to flaws in your cognitive mesh that can make you go the wrong way. The other thing is that we've cognitive failures that all compile. We neglect to check the source. For example, the basic things, the information literacy that we talk a lot, so much about on this show, that you mightn't check, is that from Fox News?
But I mean, for example, the eating pets, and J.D. Vance was talking about, you know, he'd heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from somebody. There was no evidence whatsoever.
There was no causal chain, absolutely.
And the missing cat turned up.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where you and I would stop and go, okay. See, analytical thinking is more expensive cognitively. It takes us longer to do. If you have to reflect and stroke your chin and go, I'm going to take a few seconds. We love, as human beings, we love snap judgments. We're big fans of it. That's why judgment is fun.
You'd expect people to say, okay, show me the money. Where are the people who've lost their dearest pets to these migrants? Where are they? Show me them.
Exactly.
Let me talk to them.
That would be the question you think people, that's not what people on average do. Some people do. But the kind of people who are susceptible to misinformation don't necessarily take that extra process, that step in the chain. The third part in the cognitive drivers is illusory truth. Constant repetition, like Trump always
does. The big lie.
It's a demagogue's best tool. Keep repeating the lie and it fools people into believing there must be something to it. The other side of a coin is socio-affective drivers. And this is the fact that all humans are kind of marketing themselves. They're kind of trying to project their flag colors. So if you decide that he's an in-group, that Donald Trump is an elite, that you want to be on his good side, you will often, as a test of loyalty to yourself, accept that lie because that shows that you're on Team Trump. We found with conspiracy theorists, when you study them, they often don't truly believe their conspiracy theory, but they want everyone to think they do. So they might, like with flat earthers, they study this, they don't necessarily believe the earth is flat all the time if you really challenge them, but it's often the social group they want to identify with.
It's very interesting. I saw some video, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel had it on his show, where this team went off to a Trump rally and asked them about the issues. They didn't even understand the issues.
No, because it's like a football game. This is my team and I support it. So you have this tribal loyalty. That's a socio-affective thing as well. By the way, just on the Flat Earth thing, there was a great badge that the Flat Earth Society once tweeted that they had members all across the globe and didn't stop to think about the ramification. And a lot of it is worldview and partisanship. So the fact is, people will share false news, for example, knowing it's false, but like J.D. Vance said, feeling that it has some deeper truth. Now that is very Orwellian, and that's a word that's overused.
That's cultish.
It's cultish, but that's exactly what a socio-affective driver is. Trump has a cult. Now, that in the election gives him a high floor but a low ceiling, because a third of the population are going to believe him no matter what he says. because partly for the socio-effective reasons for their team Trump, the merchandise, the MAGA hats,
they're on that team. People are guilty of it in their own little way and they may think they're not. But when they support a team whose performances are sometimes abysmal or sometimes very crude and rough, you know, a rough team, a team that are guilty of bad tackles and, you know, maiming the other side. If they're your team, all is forgiven. If they're the other team, nothing's forgiven.
And we as a species, we're very tribalistic and we're very quick to judgment. And that, unfortunately, is an avenue in which we can be exploited and where we can be willing foot soldiers in this as well. And that's a really worrying concern. We'll see in a few weeks how that pans out.
Okay, now the willing foot soldiers, you can think of, if you like, undereducated America. And in all the polling analysis I've seen, that Harris and Biden tend to get the, on balance, the more educated side of things, yes, and the Trump side less so. But when it comes to members of Congress, I mean, the people who are rolling over to Trump's beliefs, who don't criticize his drift towards fascism,
who acquiesce to everything he does, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's harder to explain.
Well, it's often very self-serving. I mean, Ted Cruz is the classic example. If you ever listen to The Rest Is Politics UK, Anthony Scaramucci is very damning of people like Ted Cruz. Even as Trump insults them publicly, they still fawn to him. But that's probably because they're trying to self-preserve. They're trying to predict the direction the wind goes. The other thing about education, though, is yes, education is a factor, but people affected by misinformation and disinformation come from all social strata. Unfortunately, there is no vaccine entirely effective against being misinformed, and it's partly, again, to worldview. But you're right, people in the places that tend to vote against Trump tend to have higher levels of education and more university degrees. It's not on its own an immunization against this stuff.
And we know that J.D. Vance is a highly educated man.
Yeah, I did have the misfortune of reading his book, though. It is absolutely dire.
The Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah. And they made a movie out of it as well. Good Lord.
No, but the point is, he's an educated man,
of course,
who would have
very much so
mixed with the best and the brightest.
Yeah, and he's also, if you saw the recent New York Times interview with him, he was constantly asked the question 5 different times, was the 2020 election stolen? And he could not and refused to give a straight answer. And now, a few years ago, he absolutely would have. He was very damning of Trump. He, again, has acquiesced because this might make him vice president.
Might make him president, given the age of Trump.
Given Trump, absolutely. So he's willing to sacrifice out his beliefs on that one. That's quite cynical. And they'd be kind of a different case category than the Trump supporters on the field, like you said, the ones that are Team Trump no matter what. I think some of the politicians and Congress members are seeing which way the wind blows and then getting behind that.
There's an extraordinary thing that's going on, again, watching the news last night and seeing that there's an attempt by various Republican administrations in the states to limit the rights of overseas Americans, including the troops serving overseas, to cast their vote.
And that is possibly to do with the fact that those overseas voters are less likely to support the candidate they would prefer. Again, overseas Americans have to pay taxes. So there's a bit of a strange thing as well. So that's kind of an advanced form of gerrymandering, isn't it? It's trying to limit the constituencies that would put your candidate at risk, and which, of course, is not how politics should be done. It should be as representative as possible. But unfortunately, you're seeing an increasingly partisan world, and part of that's driven by misinformation. We've become increasingly partisan, where instead of trying to find common solutions, it becomes tribalism to an extreme degree.
This text says, I read a report by an English professor who said that people with low self-esteem are attracted to conspiracy theories because they're looking for a tribe to belong to.
And that's absolutely true, yes. In fact, one of the biggest things that we find for people trying to leave conspiratorial groups is that they fear the social stigma of leaving it because they find a group of people that amplify and support their view. And sometimes when they realise that's wrong, it's very difficult to leave, even if they've stopped. It's kind of like a cult. I mean, you said it earlier on. It's kind of leaving a cult is difficult too, for the same reason. So it attracts people with low self-esteem, but it also attracts people who are highly narcissistic.
QED. David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.